What's the difference between God and Fernando Alonso? God knows he's not Fernando Alonso.
Oh. Wow.
That's a late original, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's just changing of a classic joke that I heard about someone else, but I figured it worked. I thought we had to have a few classics. We, you know, originals. We had one last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Was this part of the batch that you came up with in one go, Nate?
It was, yeah. Some might say a bad batch, but we will see. It was a batch. That's all I know at this point.
Well, I'm going to fire straight away at the score, and it was an 8, Nate.
Oh, sweet. I thought when you said, I'm going to fire, I thought you were going to fire me from the pod. You're like, you are fired for that joke. No, I'll take an 8. I think anything over 7 for an original, I'm pretty pleased with.
Yeah, solid.
And this one, I hope it got extra points for being true as well.
it got extra points for being short and punchy, so I've got a better chance of remembering it to retell it myself.
Nice. Yeah. No, I expect next time we're at an event together, I'm going to look at you and be like, do you have a joke for people? Either that one or about the Berlin Wall and Nicholas and Sifi.
To be fair to you as well, punchy was both in terms of length and the fact that it was shots fired a little bit.
But
it was another weekend where there was a little hint, wasn't there, about how he just outdid everyone else by taking a look at what he was going to do on the driver parade.
That's also why I did it that turn one, when he was like, well, all of the others were just waving. I was there studying turn one. And I was like, I could smell it. I could sense it. I could sense the line was there, and I went for it. So I've shaken both of you. I don't know what to do about this. You're worried you're going to get cancelled by Fernando. Look, I respect Fernando. I think Fernando is a fantastic driver, but no one can deny that that joke is true. That joke isn't accurate. No. Yeah, I don't know. English. Words. Let's start the bloody pod, shall we?
Welcome to the Paddock, a podcast featuring stories following Formula One around the world. I'm Lawrence Bretto, F1 correspondent and presenter.
And I'm Chris Medland, F1 correspondent at Racer.
And I'm Nate Saunders, associate editor at ESPN.
Beautiful. And we had a big week.
Big week.
Big week.
Miami.
Nate's still having a big week. Nate is on it in Brooklyn right now.
I'm on it right now.
And, well... What time is it there? 9:30? Like
9:30, yeah.
It could be.
I'm on coffee. Strong industry grade coffee. There's a great coffee shop near me in Brooklyn.
You're looking really sharp, Nate, for this time in the morning.
Thank you. I mean, I was really surprised. I logged in and these guys were like, you're looking very well rested. which I assume means usually I'm not looking well rested. They're like, after your haggard appearance last week, Nate, you look very well rested now. But I do feel well rested, so I'm glad that's showing up in my personal appearance.
Looks like you've had a bit of a beard trim as well.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, it was getting a bit unkempt, you know. It was a bit wild. A bit like the Everglades, if I may. So I thought to myself, you know what? That's my joke for anyone who's not been to Florida before. And a bloody good one, I'd say. So I gave it a little trim. I think, what was the verdict on the big beard? I kind of liked it, but it was also quite frustrating. This length is better.
I didn't like the big beard.
Didn't like it?
You,
wow.
I'm telling you right now.
Take me retrospectively. That's terrible. No, but to be fair, it was pretty unkempt. This is better. I'm glad everyone here who's listening is like, I can't see a thing. But
so you can go over to your Twitter profile and see a picture of you.
Yes.
Your beard.
Well, my profile picture is the old beard, the old me, the kempt Nate. No, sorry, the unkempt Nate. Now I'm kempt Nate again. That was me haggard and unkempt last week. Yeah, here's my profile picture. So yeah, but no, gee, we might have to do this squadcast link every morning just so I can get that
boost compliment to start the day.
Yeah, what do I look out of? Maybe that's the new rating system. We'll drop the jokes out of 10. How rested does Nate look?
Definitely a 9 today, whereas Bretta and I are somewhere around a 3 level, I think.
Yeah, but you guys see.
To come home.
Yeah, you guys. That flight is pretty rough back, so I'll give you that. And it's weird, isn't it? So this is. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, And I know we do incredible jobs and it's a dream and all this stuff, but coming back from trips like this honestly takes like 3-4 days before you even feel like fully normal again. I always find anyway. And yeah, it just kind of, it's crazy how long it takes to get rid of some of that fatigue. And then you've got like, you're like, God, all these things I've got to do before the next trip. And yeah, so make sure you guys rest up. I'm lucky to be taking a few days holiday, but I'm going to be in the same boat at the weekend. So I'll be back to looking unrested again for Barcelona.
Can't wait.
About 5 or 6, Nate, do you think? Is that where you reckon you'll be?
I'm going to ask. I'm going to send you a selfie every day and be like, what's the verdict? That could be. Maybe this could just be a Twitter profile. Every morning, just a picture of me. How rested does Nate look? I take a selfie, post it, boom. I'm and people can, it, people can be honest. It'll be like Amazon reviews, but of my face.
I'm here for it. I'm really here for it.
Let's do it. If more than 5 people tweet me saying they want to see that, then I'll set it up. Unkempt, yes. Nate Red. It can't be you two either, and it can't be two of your accounts. So if Borance Loretto tweets me, I'm going to be like, no. Christopher Moodland. I'm going to be like, no, get out of here. I know who that is.
I was, my alter ego to my uni mates was Topher Land. He just took the second half of both. So, yeah,
that's pretty good.
You might get Topher Land. But don't worry, I won't contact you with any feedback. But 2 other people have on our reviews. Segue.
Very good. Very good.
First one comes from the United States of America.
That's where I am.
It's from Nate Saunders via Apple. No, it's Birdele, is the username. And they have given us 5 stars, which is nice. But the title is Very Confused. Three exclamation marks. And I like this because it says, I thought this would be an ad hoc discussion of various types of pads and padding, including, but not limited to, crash pads, padded expense accounts, pad tie, and padding around quietly in the early morning so as to avoid waking up one's neighbours. Instead, this podcast is just 3 pals musing about something called F1, which, if my careful parsing of context clues is correct, or is anything to go by, involves a lot of sitting around in hotels at various distances from something called the track, and then cracking dad jokes of middle to high quality. I have stuck around because I enjoy the camaraderie and because I suppose a hotel can be considered a crash pad. So really, the show name isn't totally misleading. Still, I do wish they would occasionally discuss the purveyance or creation of Thai dishes and or give tips about moving around quietly before 7 a.m. because I could really use some advice on both fronts. Well, Birdela, you're in luck. Pre-7 a.m, wear socks, but not shoes.
Yeah.
Because you can slide then on a hard floor. Because I'm assuming you've got a hard floor. If you've got carpet, you don't need to creep. But if you've got hard floors, shoes are going to make noise. Your feet can make noise. Plus, it's just a bit grubby. But if you've got socks, you can slide and glide silently.
And you can do that thing from whatever. Is it Footloose? When Tom Cruise comes in, slides in his shirt. You do that scene every day.
Yeah, that might be risky, though. You get it wrong and you hit something, you'll wake people up.
Yeah, but then you go to the fridge where you've got a pad tie from overnight. Yay. And you keep that. And then you feel better about your life. See, we are a pod about that stuff as well.
Yeah.
So, nice.
And right now, we've mentioned the fact that Nate is rocking it in Brooklyn. Nate, you're in an Airbnb, aren't you?
Yep, I am.
So is that your crash pad for the week?
It is my crash pad for the week, yeah. So
nice.
And it wasn't a hotel. Like he said, hanging around in hotels, technically not true. So a learning experience, that review. We've grown from that, I think.
Yeah,
3 of us collectively, we've become better.
Yeah. Well, hopefully 4. I hope Birdela has also learned about the tricks to not wake people up before 7 a.m. The second review, this hurts me. It's from Lammy Pie 75 via Apple Podcasts here in Great Britain, and I know who Lammy Pie is. And I'm gonna have words with Lammy Pie because
are you gonna out Lammy Pie?
I will in a second at the end of this because the title is has the potential to be the goat of F1 related podcasts, but only has 4 stars on the review. Based on potential, I assume. But it says, I love this pod. You can tell that the hosts are friends in and out of F1. The banter between them is fabulous. A great blend of F1 inside knowledge and just friends shooting the breeze like you or I would down the pub. However,
oh, God.
There is so much potential for Nate and Lawrence to leave the meddling Medlin behind and grow the show. A line of Padhawk baseball caps to keep Nate's head from burning during sun-filled interviews. The Padhawk burger. Padhawk trainers. Nate and Lawrence are definitely the stars of the show. Maybe Medlin's better half would be a good option. Or maybe his dog Monty. Hashtag boot Medland.
Middling Medlin. That is absolutely savage. That is absolutely savage. Oh, mate. I genuinely, I can't believe, I forgot I'd written that review, actually. no, that's savage. Well, I don't agree either. Like, we come as a three. So
the architect, composer of that review is Jess's older brother, Chris.
Who, nice. Okay, I was going to say, that sounds like a stitch-up. That sounds like a complete stitch-up.
Who is just... I think I'm going to see if I can block listeners on the show because he will become the first blocked. And plus, I got some nice freebies from Miami, and he's just slipped down the list to getting them. So
yeah, nice. Or he started a revolution, and you're going to be bombarded with actual reviews like that from now on. Like, people are going to be calling you Middling Medland.
Meddling Medland.
Oh, was it meddling? I thought it was middling. Oh, no. Well, either's funny.
Do you meddle, medders?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's a meddler, apparently. The way he meddles in, other than fact and analysis. Yeah,
I get to edit it, so I just cut out things that I don't want you guys saying and then re-record it as my own. You've never listened to an episode, but it's actually just a monologue of me with everything you guys said that was really funny.
Like that
and I'm playing all three roles.
Where they edit Homer's interview, you know, when he takes the candy off of that woman's bum. In that episode.
Yeah, the episode
where he takes it and then he eats it and she turns around and he does an interview where he like explains himself, but they edit it to make him look like an absolute monster. Simpsons fans will get it. If not, it just sounds like I've just told a very weird story.
Well, that's in line with the rest of the podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, true. But I thought being so rested, I wouldn't do that today. But no, here we are.
Not rested enough.
All right, well, I'm glad that was a stitch-up review, Medus, because that would have been incredibly harsh. For you. And I was impressed that you were actually reading it out. I would have just pretended that hadn't come in if it was about me.
I will always be honest. We will read all reviews, even the ones that make us doubt everything we're doing in our lives. But, Nate, you are rested.
I am.
And it's surprising because of just how hectic that past week was.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with Beretta. Because he's not alert. But his eyes, he's so scared. Bretto, how did you enjoy Miami?
I thought that was about to be a segue into the 60-second review. And then I thought, I was about to relax into it and listen to the review. But
I did totally forget about that, so I will do that. That's how unrefreshed I am. Yeah, I genuinely didn't think.
That's
so.
Right, hit the jingle.
If you've only got 1 minute to spare, wanna know who finished when and where, sit back, relax, cause we got you. Here's Nate with the 60-second review.
Hello, welcome to my review of the Miami Grand Prix, a review that took place exclusively in Miami. Alright, should we get this going? I usually just wait until... Boom! If this race was a bunny, it was a bad bunny until the end. The circuit was bendy like Beckham. The marina was fake like all the influencers there. There are a few dolphins and a couple of goats. That's Michael Jordan and Brady, for anyone who doesn't know. Apparently, Michael Brundle still doesn't know who Patrick Mahomes or anyone is. Max won again, passed both the Ferraris, who I guess did a good job to be there. Perez should have won, right, with those fresh tyres. At least been on the podium, but he didn't really do very well at the end. Russell got lucky again, but you've got to make your own luck. I think he's doing really well. Hamilton's sad again. Very interesting to hear what he's been saying about the team recently. Bottas channeled the last few years by letting those two guys through, although who was fantastic all week? Ocon, nice. Albon, the redder his hair gets, the better he gets. Stroll, point, fair play. Pierre Gasly, as an American might say, oh, say, can you see? Lando Norris on your left, Pierre. Apparently he couldn't, but in fairness to Pierre, he also couldn't turn the car, so can't blame him too hard for that. He brought out the safety car. That brought a bunch of guys into contention late on, including Mick Schumacher. I thought it was an American dream, but he thought he was Miley Cyrus, and he came in like a wrecking ball, and we all know what happened next. Him and Seb hit, and neither finished in the points. So, sadness.
Oh, I enjoyed that a lot. It was an interesting start in the way that you alienated basically anyone who you saw over the weekend.
I still don't know who Bad Bunny is, really, but I just used the reference. People keep on saying Bad Bunny was there. I was like, I don't know who Bad Bunny is. There like tiers of bunny? Is there like a good bunny? Is there a regular bunny? You know, is there a bunny family? And is he just the bad? And why is he bad? These are questions I have about him.
I don't know what you're talking about, mate. So
there's a guy called Bad Bunny, and he's bad in some way. We've got to stop him. Okay, before he goes to more events, you know, more events and does bad things, bad bunny things. I mean, I don't even know what those are, but yeah. So that was a review and a PSA, you know, because we need to stop Bad Bunny from whatever he does.
Well, Bad Bunny is not to be confused with Bad Rabbit, who I will have to click on after this. And Bad Bunny is a Puerto Rican rapper, singer, record producer, actor, and professional wrestler. Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio. Now, Nate, I feel like if he's a professional wrestler, you should have been well in on that.
No, I knew him from that because he did it, and he was actually pretty good. But I don't know what he does, like his day job. You know, he could have worked at Starbucks for all I knew. He could have worked in finance. You know, he could have been a rower, an Olympic rower. I wouldn't have known. So. But no, so I mean, we're teaching our listeners, you know, I like how in that review I criticize Martin Brundle for not knowing anyone. And then I'm like, I have no idea who the person I led off the review with was. I'm familiar with Bad Bunny, but I don't really, you know, I'm just digging myself a hole here, much like a bunny.
I've got Bad Rabbit as well. I clicked through to find it because it says Bad Rabbit redirects here, not to be confused with Bad Bunny, because Bad Rabbit is a ransomware attack in Russia and Ukraine in 2017.
Oh, wow.
So
Bad Rabbit.
Definitely two very different things, Bad Rabbit and Bad Bunny.
Are we sure they're not linked? Is he not hiding in plain sight, Bad Bunny?
You reckon Bad Bunny is Bad Rabbit? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think he might have had something to do with Bad Rabbit, don't you think? I mean, it seems a little too convenient. Bad Bunny, Bad Rabbit. I mean, a bunny and a rabbit are the same animal, Meadows. And he used the same word to describe that animal. I mean, I'm no detective. Maybe I should be. This just seems. I'm surprised the authorities didn't go straight there. In fact, I would have closed the investigation. I'd have said, we don't need an investigation. We've got our man.
But are they linked with everybody when they're not as well-rested as you, Nate? Bad hair.
Oh. Well, I don't have hair, so I can't have bad hair. All of the hair I do have is gone.
You're off the hook, then. But
yeah.
I'm not.
No. You both do have hair.
I don't know what's happening here.
We've had about 5 minutes chat about Bad Bunny. I am so well rested that I'm going to just talk about Bad Bunny the entire
No. I'm going to segue back to the original question that Meadows asked, but because I'm asking it, I'm going to ask one of you two. Meadows, how was Miami for you?
It was whatever you said it was, to be honest. Yeah. It was, I mean, the highlight of the week was Nate calling Mick Schumacher Miley Cyrus. That was lovely. No, Miami was awesome, but so tiring, like so busy.
That's because you're meddling many jobs.
So I did work this out, right? I can't remember why someone had asked me or said it, but I then took a guess and then worked out and I was right. I worked for 7 different clients this weekend.
Amazing.
I feel it, which is why I'm not as rested as Nate, especially because I then had to get up. Like Nate says, actually, you do something like this. I flew back Monday night, travel tale of woe for the listeners, which they always love. I got to Newark and my flight was delayed and everything closes in Newark Airport. So I was just sat in the airport, fortunately watching some basketball. So that was fun. But the flight was late. So finally got dinner at about 2 a.m., which was 7 a.m. UK time, which is where you're flying to. So I had dinner at 7 a.m. Finally got to go to sleep at 3 a.m., so 8 a.m. UK time, and landed at midday. So you obviously didn't sleep much either, but all my body clock got to do was shift in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So like last yesterday, I was shattered all day, but then last night couldn't sleep until pretty much 7 this morning. And I've had a couple hours sleep, and now I'm trying to do a whole very busy day of work because we don't get to kind of just stop working when a race ends. There's lots of stuff to do off the back of it. So, yeah. Mm. And then I interrupted by talking to you idiots.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You could have had a 3 hour of your morning to do nothing, but you spoke to us.
Yeah.
I agree with you on the tiring front. And I think the heat was lovely, but it was so hot. It was like, and that, I don't know how people, I mean, I guess they just get used to it, right? But we being Brits are not used to that kind of heat. And it wasn't like, I don't mind it when it's hot. That actually to me felt a bit worse than the heat in Abu Dhabi for some reason, because it was just, I don't know. It was just so like stiflingly hot.
It was sticky. I don't know. Humidity, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know whether I don't know. It just felt. I've been to Abu Dhabi a few times. It's like that, but I don't know. I didn't maybe didn't expect it to be that bad, but it was interesting, wasn't it? Because even the drivers, I think Magnussen said it was like the hottest race of his life. Like he'd never struggled that much with it. And a few of the people I spoke to, some of the American journos who were there for the first time, were like, "Yeah, we were really surprised they did this in May, because." You know, they just know how hot it gets in Miami at that point. And they were like, this should be really like one of the first three races of the year, still be warm. But yeah, if you shift it forward. So that's an interesting point. But not to take away from the weekend, obviously weather, that's great British chat, isn't it? Weather.
Well, I have the answer to why they did it in May. Because I asked this very question, because football season can run until first week of Feb, basically. So they can't really get working on getting the circuit ready properly before then. And then they have the tennis tournament. So yes, it had to be after the tennis tournament. And any later than this, it would get too hot. Because I also asked them about using the track, seeing as the actual track part stays there for other series. And they think the only window really would be like this coming weekend in future, like straight afterwards, maybe a week or two after. But after that, it will get too hot. They can't do anything before because of the tennis. So that's why it is May. But you're right, it was hot. But I kind of liked it. To be honest, not so much when you got like really sweaty, but the rest of the time it was just like, so every time I've been to Florida, it tends to be for the Daytona 24, and it's never warm and sunny. It's cold and wet and rubbish. And I'm like, I've come to the Sunshine State and not got it. So at least this week I felt like I got the proper Florida experience of sun, humidity, palm trees and the odd thunderstorm.
And also they did it perfectly from an event point of view of I've joked on this pod before, haven't I, about hate when F1 was like, we've got to make every race like the Super Bowl.
Because you joke on this pod?
Yeah, apparently. I don't know. I mean, next week I might do one and see if it lands. But they always used to say that, and it used to annoy me because I'd be like, you can't have 23 Super Bowls in a year. But Miami really went out of their way to try and replicate that feeling specifically. And I don't know about you guys, but the race almost felt like not an afterthought. I don't want to say it was an afterthought, but like, it wasn't the main event of the weekend, or at least it didn't feel that way. The build up around it, everything that led up to that race felt almost bigger than the race. And obviously for the drivers, that was probably an interesting mindset for them to get in. Like they had to basically do all that stuff they were doing and then focus on the race as if it was any other one. Because Max said, didn't he? I think on the Sunday, he said, well, there's no extra points for this race. It's not like I get 50 for winning here and 25 elsewhere. It's the same amount. So I think that's going to be interesting going forward. If Miami always is this kind of big event, and it might be the same for Vegas in terms of build-up for the drivers, it's kind of an interesting one because the race itself is still just one of 23 races. But I loved that feel of it. And I think if you compare it to other first events we've had, that it blew all of those out of the water. And it felt very distinctly Miami. It felt very distinctly American. And it just felt very special to be there. I don't know if they'll be able to replicate that every year, because I think you almost have that kind of grace period in the first few years where like you can do anything like the marina. Like people were shitting on the marina, but I didn't care about it. I thought it was great because it was either going to be a fake marina there or nothing, you know, and people would say this place has no character, it's a car park, etc. So I liked it, and I think they lent into Miami perfectly. And yeah, it was just, that was one of the, I'd say it's one of the top five F1 events I've been to as an event, because yeah, it just felt really special. And it was, and the race wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but it was fun. You know, it had a pass for the lead, which is always good. So, yeah, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great, and I already can't wait for next year to go back.
Well, while Barreto wakes up enough to give his thoughts on it, you mentioned Max saying that. That was your colleague, Lawrence Edmondson, who asked Max about like it was more special or whatever, winning that race. So having blown his trumpet for him, I'm now going to blow my own, because Ross Brawn, I spoke to on Sunday morning, and exactly what you said, mate. I asked him about like the size of it and stuff, and he said, quote, we've always had this ambition to emulate the Super Bowl, especially in America, and I think we're getting close now. Of course, our event is over several days, but it's fabulous. Clearly, it's not an approach that will work in every country or every track or every environment, but it's a great template for this sort of event, and just to see people enjoying themselves as much. They've got a race to watch and everything else going on, but the rest of the activities are just sensational. And I think he's right.
I think so too.
Yeah, you can't do that everywhere, but it definitely worked in Miami. It wasn't perfect. There were some things. I mean, apparently Paddock Club was a nightmare at times over the weekend, and there's a few traffic issues. But you know, you're going to get them at a first event. And I actually think there was very little that went wrong given the scale of the thing.
Well, we were really worried about traffic and stuff like that. Like some of the stories we heard from just people involved in logistics were like, yeah, this is going to be a really bad one. But I mean, people had different experiences, but coming in from Fort Lauderdale, which was north of Miami, Lawrence and I never had a problem coming in. But I think that point that Braun made is really interesting, because I think that he's right. You can't treat every race like this. But I think other venues are going to have to look at that and think, like, we're going to have to do something. And they're going to have to be careful, I think, because if Silverstone tried to have that build-up, I don't think it would work. The British were very cynical, and a Super Bowl kind of feel for that race wouldn't be the same. But I think that a lot of European venues especially almost take the event for granted. They're like, well, we're the Belgian Grand Prix, we're the British Grand Prix, like, we've always been here. I think Miami and Vegas coming in, there's going to be more focus on what your event is actually doing to promote that. And the idea, for example, that felt like a Miami race. There's some races I've been to and I've never felt like this feels like a unique race to this country. It just feels like a race in this place. And I think that's really interesting. Like you go to Zandvoort, one of the great things about Zandvoort was it was like being hit in the face by Dutchness, wasn't it? And I mean that in the best possible way. Like you were there and you're like, we're in the Netherlands. Everyone here is like, it's either Dutch or people who are coming to the Netherlands. And that felt great. And that's what Miami felt with the US. So I think it might be a game changing moment for a lot of promoters, because they're going to have to say, well, we're going to have to make our event stand out in some way. And when there's so many races, like standing out is pretty difficult. So yeah, I'm interested to see what happens in the next couple of months.
Case in point is the next race, Barcelona. I don't think there's enough an attachment between that track and event and what's an awesome city in Barcelona. You don't go to Barcelona in that week and see loads of F1 stuff everywhere and everyone hyped up for an F1 race. It's just
it's really true.
Like there happens to be an F1 race happening at a racetrack that's nearby. And if you're there for it, you probably, you know, some people don't even stay in the city because they're like, oh, it's a bit too far to go out. And there's no connection between the two. Like that was the opposite in Miami. So I think that's where actually some cities and like places like that are going to have to connect a bit more. Like Barcelona could definitely do it, where if you can really make the city a part of that event, you're instantly making it more attractive. So, yeah. Brett, are you talk now?
I think it's okay that all of the events aren't Super Bowls. Nate, are you going to try and jump in then?
Sorry, I was going to say morning, mate. That's all. John, you go in.
You cheeky sod. I don't think all of them need to be like Super Bowl events. I think what makes it Miami special is that hopefully it's going to be very different to other ones. I thought it was interesting coming from Imola to Miami. Like Imola doesn't put on the kind of fanfare that Miami did, but I still thought it was a great event. I thought it was a great atmosphere. I loved going there. So I think that while I take your point, Nate, that I think other promoters are going to have to change things. I don't think events like Silverstone do, because they're selling out already. So I feel it's probably events where they're maybe struggling to bring people in that might need to think more about how they entice people through. On the point about the race being part of like a wider package, I don't think that also almost matters, because I think you're bringing a different type of fan to the Miami Grand Prix. You're bringing like a sports fan who just wants to be, who wants all of the entertainment around it. And then there is sport. I've only been to one baseball game before. It's a game, right? Not a match game. That's correct, right? And and what I liked about it is there is sport going on, but it's more about the social aspect of chatting to each other, because you're not focused fully on it for the whole time. And I feel like the Miami event is about being an event, and then there is a Grand Prix that you'll put 2 hours focused in, but then you want to enjoy the rest of the things going on. So I really like it. It was also an exhausting weekend, and I don't think we could sustain 23 of them during
that's
the year.
True.
Because like the hours that we were pulling it for a good reason were because there was so much going on. It was a full-on weekend. A lot of that was down to it being the first weekend of this type of event. But I think it was so much that I think that's partly why everyone's exhausted, or you will be, Nate, when you come back as well, because I think everyone threw everything into it and the heat saps your energy anyway. But I loved it. I had a great weekend there. I was excited about going there. I'm still excited about the event. I was a bit sad that, so I stayed in Hollywood, so a little bit further south than you, Nate, and slightly closer to the track, but nowhere really near South Beach. So I feel like I missed out on the experience of when I've seen Miami on the telly, or you hear Will Smith singing about it. I feel like I missed that kind of aspect of Miami. And so that would be the only thing that I'd try and change next time I go there.
Did you not go down there at all at any point in the week?
In the evening I did, but I don't feel like I saw it. And I think I was there for about half an hour, like during the day, but that was it. Literally, that was it. I think I went onto the beach, took a photo of one of those lifeguard huts, because I thought that would be cool for Insta.
That's like instant reality versus real life, isn't it? Like
he's one of those influencers you were having to go at earlier, Nate, in your review.
So fake. Wasn't even there for long. And he takes his like the caption was probably like great couple of days down in South Beach. Really enjoyed myself.
I know, but I'm telling you, I spent 30 minutes there. Like I'm not like yeah.
That is what a lot of people will do. Like you'll kind of see it and you'll see on like social media profiles and stuff, like the really nice photo you get. And you're right, it's from that snapshot of you drove by and you're like, oh, that's cool, I'll take a photo. And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, you must have been hanging down there all the time. It's like, absolutely not.
It's like, I was there for the length of time it took me to open up the camera app, hit photo, and then I walked off. There was some funny ESPN, we had a bunch of people in town for the race, which was amazing, actually. And our social guy got a great a video in the paddock of an influencer. I said he needed to send it to Influencers in the Wild, but she was like posing for a shot by Pirelli, and like doing all those weird movements that people do when they're being, you know, taking photos of for Instagram. And then this Pirelli mechanic walks between her and her friend taking the shot and starts like twerking himself and like gyrating around as if like we're, and she looked genuinely really pissed off with him, and it was really funny. You could hear other people like laughing because it's such a ridiculous thing for her to be doing. But on the topic of that paddock, it was so busy every single day. I was amazed, like especially on Sunday. It was pretty narrow for people that are listening. So like the paddock area is usually, I would say, usually busy on race day. But this was a different level of busy. This was like, if you imagine like between classes in school when the corridor is just completely packed between, like it was kind of like that, but just amplify it up, you know, it's nice, boiling hot. And yeah, and for some reason, Michael Jordan's at school, you know, that was kind of... That was kind of what it was like, but it was so, so busy. And what was really fun about that paddock was every single person you walked past, more or less, had like one of the VIP passes on, and you're like, oh my God. And half of them I didn't recognize. Some of them I did, like Beckham was there. And for any like young English person, that's cool as hell. You're like, oh my God, that's like David Beckham, like half my childhood right there. Like best football player that, you know, we grew up watching. So that was just like insane. And that also is going to be weird going to Barcelona, which has that kind of big spread out paddock. And I just don't think it's going to be on race day. It's going to be like, oh yeah, this is actually kind of quiet and kind of, so I think that the slot after Miami is always going to, it's going to be interesting. I saw Marcus Ericsson. He was checking out of my hotel yesterday when I checked out, and I was just chatting to him. I hadn't seen him for a few years. So I was just, you know, catching up with him, and we got talking about how many people were in Miami. And how busy the paddock was. And he said that Spain, he thinks, will be a bit like what IndyCar drivers feel when they go from a month of incredible stuff in May for Indy. They then go to Detroit the next week. And Indy tries to make a big deal of the Detroit race, but he's like, it's just not the same. You go from a huge, huge race, biggest motor race in the world in terms of attendance. And then you go to Detroit the week after. And most of the talk is still about Indy. And he just says it's kind of just like, oh, like, so deflating going from one to the other. And that's not a knock at Detroit, but it's just a reality of if you follow a big event and you're not anywhere near as big, like it's going to be bad. So I think I'm kind of mentally preparing myself for that. And I think fans, it's going to be interesting what fans think going back to Spain. Cause it's such a, we know Spain, like there's no frills attached to it. Like there's not going to be many huge surprises there in terms of the track or anything like that. So, So sorry, I've kind of gone back to that original point we made, but for a place like Spain, it's almost going to have to work out how it mitigates some of that feeling of being a bit deflating.
On that Ericsson thing, so I've done the Detroit doubleheader before when I was, it was before Canada. So I'd done qualifying at Indy, couldn't do the 500 because it clashed with Monaco, but then went out early to the US and did Detroit and then drove to Montreal for the Canadian race. So it was a nice kind of like trip to do, but I was like amazed at how few, not amazed, I can kind of understand it, but how few media were even there, because everyone had been flat out the whole time. And everyone that I'd seen at the 500 or in qualifying and stuff and got to know, none of them were there when I went to Detroit, because they're like taking the time off because they've been flat out for a month on the biggest race of the year. So I found that you can see it affects everyone in that sense, even though it's a, you know, cool location, cool race, but same sort of thing as well. Like the 500 and Indianapolis takes over and all the street names are given to drivers and things like that. Like you can't fail to know that the 500 is happening in Miami. You couldn't fail to know the Miami Grand Prix was on. There were billboards everywhere, every single one along like the interstate and stuff were F1 related. Like, I was amazed at how much it was. There was this cool Red Bull mural on the road that goes into South Beach. There was loads of great stuff. Merck did an activation up and down Ocean Drive, I think. So there was, yeah, there was no getting away from it if you were in town, even if you didn't have a ticket. Whereas, and Indy's the same, but then, yeah, Detroit was the opposite. Like, you had no idea the race was on unless you were going to the race track, which is close to downtown. So that was quite an interesting comparison too. I think you're right, we'll get something similar. But I've, sorry, Nate, to bring it back to you again, but I can't believe that you mentioned Michael Jordan and knowing some of the celebrities were there. You didn't mention that once again, Tom Brady was there.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady was someone that 1 week ago today, we were podcasting within earshot of and awkwardly saying his name loudly enough to try and get him to join and rate your joke, and it didn't happen. But also, I know you want to interject here, but I need to out you. Nate and I had a really cool interview we got to do on Friday.
Yes, we did.
JJ and TJ Watt.
Genuinely very cool.
Yeah. And we just got to sit down with the two of them at Haas, organized through Haas, because they were Haas guests. And we get there and we sit down. And the first thing Nate does in front of someone who plays for the Steelers and someone who plays for the Cardinals is put his cap on the small table that we're sat at, facing them. And it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers cap. And TJ Watt is like, well, the first thing you can do is get that off the table.
I mean, yeah, like, and that's not even the worst thing that happened with that hat, is it, Meadows? With the Watts. So
what did you do then?
To set the scene, and also I just want to say that, so we sat down and got to give props to our friend Stuart Morrison at Haas, because he not only got the Watts there, but he basically gave Meadows and I time to interview them, which Meadows did for Sirius XM, I obviously did for an ESPN column. We get there, they're enormous. I mean, JJ Watt is huge. Like, he was drinking this like glass that I've drunk from before, and it seems like a regular sized glass. To him, it looked like he was drinking from like a little thimble, like he was a giant. Anyway, we both do the interviews, and I think both of us were fanboying quite a bit because it was just really cool. We kind of finished the interview, and then we were just kind of chatting, you know, just kind of shooting the breeze a bit. Their food arrived, and we were like, all right, we'll let you go. And I said, you know, I usually don't do this, but I feel like if it's not an F1 driver, it's a bit different. I was like, we just get a picture. Like, I feel like it, you know, it'd be kind of cool to do that. So we do that, shake both their hands, and we're like, see you later, go outside. We talk to Stu, like, thanks, mate, for sorting that out. And then I'm suddenly very aware of, like, I've not got my hat on. And I'm like, oh my God, I've left the hat, like, just sat on the table. So I had to walk back inside, and the two Watt guys, they're just, you know, they're both there eating pasta. And I'm like, guys, I promise you, I did not do that on purpose, but I left my hat on the table. And like, I think it was TJ just laughed and was like, yeah, we were going to throw it away. Like, and like, JJ was like, get out of here, Nate. Like, and I was like, all right, see, like, he didn't say Nate, but he should have done. I just added that bit to the story just to make it sound like he knew who I was. Yeah, so that was super embarrassing. But again, that is what was so cool about that race, was like people like that being there. And it was weird seeing them in Haas gear. Like, they genuinely were loving it. They were like, we're full Haas fans now. Like, they said, Gunther Steiner is one of the coolest people we've ever met. What I thought was great, Med, as you asked him, who are you most keen to meet? And you'd expect it to be, you know, Lewis or Max or Lando or Danny Ric. And they're like, genuinely, it was K-Mag. So that was very cool. And that was a pretty interesting thing. And to be honest, getting a picture with them then did make me think, going back a week, I was like, I probably should have got a picture with Brady himself. But we live and learn. I'm sure he'll be there. I'm sure our paths will cross again. You know, two goats of our respective fields. It would be weird if they didn't.
Bacon, Nate. Bacon. The joke time is over, Nate.
I know. I feel I'm suddenly very, very unrested from doing this pod.
But, well, we got to do some cool stuff there. I've got a few more stories about that. But I want to know Barreto's, like, starstruck highlight of the week, because you got to do some cool stuff in terms of hanging out with the drivers before the weekend even started.
Mm.
Yeah, that was the best thing of the weekend, I think, was, so they, Miami had like an opening party on the Wednesday night before the race. And they got all the drivers up on stage for about an hour. But before that, they put them in a green room together. And that's probably one of the few times over the course of the weekend, I guess, the drivers meet and is the other one, and the drivers parade, where they get to hang out together in a room. But this time they didn't have to do anything like listen to someone tell them what the rules are, or, you know, be interviewed. Well, they'd be interviewed by me, but like, there was just a bit more downtime, and they were all in such a good mood. And it kind of feeds into this being more than an event. They'd all done some pretty cool things in the lead up to the event. They'd been playing, I think Lando played golf at Dustin Johnson. Max was like driving about in one of these cool vehicles in a swamp. Like lots of them had gone and done cool stuff. So they'd come to this event kind of on a high of having had a great few days and then all just seeing each other. And it was quite interesting to see, like, the first person into the room was Toto, and then it was Joe, and then there was a massive gap, and then they all came in at the same time. And it was interesting to see, like, who went to sit with who and who went in to chat to who. And there were some typical things, like Lando and Carlos kind of navigated towards each other. But Yuki and Daniel sat together as well, because they'd gone out for dinner the day before and had crab, which Yuki, interestingly, said was the best crab he's ever had outside of Japan, and the first time he's ever risked. What he meant by that is, he loves Japanese crab so much and had a lot of bad food elsewhere that he didn't want to take away from it. But he had crab so good in Miami that he said, yeah, it was just as good as Japanese crab. So obviously we were talking about food because that's what Yuki likes to talk about. But I just thought it was interesting that they went out for dinner the night before, Daniel and Yuki, and they seemed to be getting on really well until I kind of bothered them by sat in the middle of them to interview them. But it was
Yuki's such a nice guy, isn't he? Such a nice guy.
He is. Yeah, and he kind of, he comes alive when you chat to him about stuff other than Formula One. Like, he just wants to, he just, like we just chat, he just wants to chat to you about stuff like that. Mm. So it's great. Anyway, so yeah, so I had a really good time in the green room. Almost everyone talked to me. Sebastian Vettel saw me coming, having seen me walking around the room, grabbing people, and did a runner. So, but apart from that, everyone else had a chat to me. So, yeah.
Well, Vettel knew your history of opening parties. And how you normally end up after an opening party at an event. I'll say no more than Baku and let anyone go back through our history of episodes to find, I think, the drunk episode, or I don't know, one of those. It's going to be in there somewhere. Well done, Baku. But you stayed sober, which is impressive, mate. Very,
I did.
Very
well, it was a working event.
And massive alcoholic there, Madders.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not.
Congrats. My name is Lance Barreto, and I've been sober for one day now. That's what that, gee.
Well, I have a question for you both.
Go for it.
What was your biggest, because this race was rammed with potential just to do really cool things or to meet people that were massive stars and stuff. What was your biggest failing? Did you try and talk to anyone that you didn't manage to speak to, or did you miss anything you should have gone to, or what? Like, what did you fuck up, basically?
I did a good one where I saw Matt Damon on the grid and felt compelled to say something to him. I was like, hey, how you doing? And I said, Matt. And he looked at me and he was like, not today, mate. Just walked past me. And I was like, oh. No. But also I hadn't prepared. If he'd said, hey, I had nothing prepared to say to him. Yep. It wasn't like, can I get a selfie? It was just going to be a, and so I don't know what happened to me, but I just went up and acted with Matt Damon as if I knew him. So, hey, Matt, how's it going? Matt, my old friend, how's it going? Like, that's kind of the way I said it. So he just looks at me like, not today. Like, thinking I was some idiot, fairly, as well.
I'm just glad you didn't go, Matt Damon. Oh, that
then the follow-up. I don't know what would have happened if it said, hey, what do you want? I'd be like, I have wanted to say something to you my whole life, Matt, and it's Matt Damon. And then, yeah, we've been the first journalist to get punched on the grid, probably, by a celebrity. But yeah, so that was a bit of a failing. But I don't know if that's what you meant. But that to me is going to stick out. Yeah, pretty embarrassing.
Barreto, did you have one?
I think I was just disappointed that I didn't get the chance to chat to Michael Jordan because I wanted to chat to him about shoes, and so I'd have loved to have done that. But I didn't. I don't think I saw him at all, apart from in real life. I didn't see him at all when I was there, which I was a bit disappointed by. There was just
Michael Jordan walked. He walked down the paddock when. Like I was there and I got a glimpse of him, and I don't know what it is about someone like that, but he walks in and I was like, that just from him walking down the paddock, and he wasn't exactly like dressed up like for like an awards show. I was just like, that is one of the coolest human beings I have ever seen in my life. Like, it was just, that's the first time I've been properly starstruck seeing someone. Like the Brady thing was a bit different because I don't know, like they were playing sports and like they turned up. I was a bit starstruck by Brady a little bit, but Jordan, I was like, my God, that guy is like the coolest man I've ever seen. Just the way, I don't know, it might just be because he's absolutely enormous as well. And he was, you know, just kind of strolls into the paddock. Like he's like, yeah, I'm the king. But that was really cool. I would put not kind of doing anything with Jordan would be a regret, but But I think he kind of kept to himself, didn't he, a bit when he could.
I think if you put the two together as well, like Brady from the event we went to and stuff, he's very professional, very polite, nice, like would, you know, that even if you asked him for a photo or an autograph or whatever you wanted to do, he probably would give you the time, or if not, he'd politely say why he couldn't. Whereas I think with Jordan, he's just kind of badass enough that he'd just completely blank you if he didn't want to know. Or like, I just feel like he doesn't, he's so self-confident. He's like, he doesn't need to give a shit about that sort of stuff. Like if he wants to do it, he'll do it. Like, and he probably did loads of things like that. But I just, yeah, I feel like he's, I don't know, just his attitude's slightly different in that sense. And in that's what makes him like effortlessly cool. But I went for a different QB over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I should have opened. I was on the grid. I was getting interviews with the Sirius guys. And I'd mentioned that Jordan was going to be on there. I was like, you know, I'll never get him, but I'll try. Same with Beckham and stuff. Tried to get Beckham and his advisor binned me off. And he kind of hinted, at first he didn't really bin me off. He was just kind of like, and we were walking away. And I was like, you know, can do a walk and talk if you want. And I could see in his face, he just like was just not that bothered really. But he didn't say no. So I was like, well, I'll kind of follow, see where this goes. And they went off the grid into the pit lane and he got stopped for some photos and stuff. And then we're heading up towards the exit of the pit lane. So I said, you reckon a walk and talk will work or not? And he was like, oh, he's just doing so many. And I was like, well, yeah, but he is like a VIP guest at this massive event, but fair enough. So let him go. But the other one I went up to was Josh Allen, and he got, just as I was getting up to him, someone from, well, Michael Italiano, so Daniel Ricciardo's trainer and advisor who was on the grid with him, had just said something to him. And so Josh had turned away from me. So I tapped him on the shoulder and was like, Josh, you got a second quick question? And he was just like, oh, sorry, man, I've got to go. And yeah, Michael was walking off the grid. He was saying to them, look, we're going to go off the grid this way. And I was like, oh, we could do a walk and talk if you want. And to that, he just went, oh man, I gotta go. Like, he was definitely like, I don't want to speak to you. I'm trying to be polite here, but nah. So I was like, I should really have opened with the fact that he's my dynasty quarterback in fantasy, and he definitely would have spoken to me then, because now, like, I might drop him. Like, he blanked me. I got binned off by David Beckham and Josh Allen.
Let's talk trades after this, mate. I'll take Josh Allen off you. Apparently, it's good you didn't though, because a lot of NFL players apparently really don't like people mentioning fantasy because, you know, they're like, I don't play NFL for your fantasy game. So it might have gone badly for you, or you might have loved it. But yeah, no, it's good that we all had a disappointing celeb based story.
Well, to finish it on a high, because we've been rambling on for ages, but to give Nate some kudos, you did get the Watts talking about fantasy and their own fantasy F1 game that they've created. So
that's true.
That was cool.
That was very cool. A really cool idea as well. So for anybody who wants to try out Wattball, as I'm going to call it, or what F1, I can't think of how you would do it. But they basically, now correct me if I'm wrong on this, Matters, but it was, you would pick a player, you'd pick drivers at the start of the weekend, doing a snake draft, so you'd all end up with five. You do that before practice. No, sorry, after practice.
No, before practice.
Before practice, sorry, you're right.
Yeah,
that's right. And then their finishing positions from practice, you add them up, and the play, and then the person quali. Would, sorry, from, yeah, from quali. Sorry, you're right. Then picks first. So if the combined amount of, I'm really butchering this game, combined amount of, basically they play fantasy NFL F1. God, I need to go back to bed. My well rested period is well and truly done. Basically, they then pick from each segment of qualifying, and you get first pick if your picks from practice had the lowest amount of finishing positions accumulatively. So it means that not everyone just picks Verstappen every week or picks Charles every week. You know, that sounds quite fun, and it sounds like what kind of keeps it all himself. So instead of it being on a website, he just kind of keeps it all. He might, you know, he might use like Excel or something. I don't know, but pretty
JJ,
cool.
Sorry,
JJ. Yeah, and TJ said JJ's winning, which makes sense if you're the commissioner and inventor of the game. but yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, and that's what's kind of fun about the American kind of burst onto the scene, is that Americans do sports very differently to how Europeans do. You know, there's a massive emphasis on fantasy. There's kind of, I don't know if you guys got to talk to any of the new faces in the media center, like some of the American journalists, but I found it really interesting talking to them. You know, there's some really great guys there, and hopefully they'll be in Austin, but hopefully, you know, maybe Montreal as well in a few weeks. But yeah, there's just such an enthusiasm about F1 at the moment, and it's kind of infectious, but also it's a different kind of enthusiasm to fans in Europe maybe that have been watching for 20 years. It's kind of, they found it, they like the nuances of it, but there's almost an appreciation of the characters in a bit of a different way. And there's the train. Lawrence's train. I'm always worried whether no one can hear it on the pod, and it's just us randomly in the middle of a story going, "Oh, train," which must sound really funny. But yeah. So
you can hear it.
Yeah. So anyway, going back to that fantasy with the Watts, and yeah, if any Americans listening want to play it, there's how you do the rules. I explain them so succinctly. I'm sure you won't need to listen back to it multiple times to understand.
Awesome.
Great.
All right. I think, Nate, before you go down another path that you get lost, I think we'll call it quits on this podcast.
A bad rabbit hole.
Bad bunny.
Nate, enjoy the rest of your holiday, dude. I hope you have a good one. Meadows, I hope you get some sleep. Thank you very much for your
you
time.
You too, mate.
Yeah, I need some. Thanks for Lawrence,
and I hope you're also going to do good stuff as well, and that things are good with you.
Oh, what a nice way to finish, Nate. Even if it wasn't so sincere.
It was sincere. It was very sincere. I do hope good things for you all the time.
All right, mate. Thank you. And if anyone's still listening, thank you very much. Please remember to hit the subscribe button and follow us on our social channels at The Pad Puck. You can read Nate's work on ESPN.com, Meadows' work on Racer.com, and my work on F1.com. And we'll do this again very, very soon.
Bye.